Good evening. Can I help you?
Daydreaming or something, Sid? I've been ringing for hours.
Rosemary Casper?
So much for my damn disguise. Can I come in?
You're in. Sitting room through there. Let's take your coat off. And the wig.
I'm not stopping long.
Well, you'll take a seat, though. Gin?
Oh, yes, please. I've got a problem. I had to come here with it. I saw you at the races today, but couldn't be seen talking to Sid Halley there.
Doesn't George know you're here, then?
Of course he doesn't. Oh, thanks. He's at a dinner. We're staying in London overnight. He thinks I've gone to see a film.
But you're here in disguise. What's the problem, Rosemary?
I'm not sure I can trust you with it now. Everybody says you're good, brilliant. You're not really Philip Marlowe, are you, Sid? Only a damn jockey, really.
Was, when I had two arms.
I mean...
Try me, anyway.
Looks as if I'll have to. Promise not to tell George.
No promises at the moment.
He wouldn't like to admit it, but he's worried to death.
George Casper?
What do you think of Bleena?
Bleena? Disappointing.
Is that all? What about Zingaloo, then? They were the best two-year-old colts in the country, and both in our yard. Last year, as three-year-olds, totally bloody useless.
Yeah, it was a puzzler.
And what about Bethesda the year before? Top two-year-old filly. Finished 10th in the 1,000. Three brilliant horses, all gone useless. No damned explanation, everybody baffled.
Well, it does happen.
Another name, then. Try Nitro. Best in 10 years. What if something happens to him? The Guineas is only a fortnight away.
Rosemary.
Nothing must happen. It'd ruin George's reputation as top trainer. I want you to guard Trinitro for me.
Without George knowing?
He'd be livid if he found out. Name your fee.
No, it's not the money. It's... All right. I'll try.
Try. That horse must win. And I've got to be off to see that film in case George asks me about it. You think I'm paranoid, don't you?
No.
Well, I'm not. Help me, Sid. Please.
I can't say I'd give my right arm to be in the saddle again, because it was losing my left when a horse landed on it that made me take up my new profession. I turned out to be a good snooper, and it got around. Consequently, I was getting a lot of work, and I found this a real boon. It helped to stop me dwelling on the past and feeling sorry for myself. I decided to start on Rosemary's commission right away. Bobby, Sid Halley.
Ah, what do you want?
Information.
It'll cost you, seeing it's you.
Cost me what?
Spot a quid pro quo.
All right.
What are you after, then?
You wrote a long piece about George Casper in your Saturday Colour supplement a couple of months ago.
I did. A special feature, in-depth analysis of success. The Planet's doing a once-a-month series on high flyers, tycoons, pop stars, you name it.
Can you let me have a copy of the Casper one?
Yeah, no problem. Posting.
I expect you'll be at Campton tomorrow.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, bring it with you then, and I'll buy you a bottle of bubbly.
Ah, you're on. Where and when?
Members bar.
After the first race.
Okay. See ya.
Yeah, bye.
I had fallen into the habit of lunching on Thursdays at the Cavendish Hotel with Admiral retired Charles Rowland, father of my ex-wife Jenny. While my marriage had dissolved in bitterness, my friendship with my father-in-law had blossomed. We sat, an ill-assorted couple, waiting for our Dover soul. But something else was cooking.
Jenny will be at Ainsford this weekend. I'd be glad if you'd come down.
I am not coming to be sniped at.
She agreed I should invite you. But I'm afraid she's in some sort of trouble.
Charles, you can't ask me. You know how she speaks to me these days.
You give as good as you get.
I don't want to give or get if I can avoid it. No, Charles, definitely not.
You going to Kempton this afternoon?
Yes, why?
You working on a job?
Charles, I am not going to Ainsford, not while Jenny's there.
She's lent some money, and her name, I'm afraid, to a business enterprise that would appear to be fraudulent.
She has done what?
Fraud, Sid.
Well, that's something you can sort out.
It's your name she's used, of course, Jennifer Halley.
She would.
She was attracted to a man. Didn't like him much myself. He persuaded her to go in for some sort of mail order business, all frightfully upmarket and respectable on the surface. A worthy way of raising money for charity, you know. Selling wax polish for antique furniture. Charged the earth for it, but claimed profits would go to a good cause.
How did they do?
The orders simply rolled in, and the money with them, of course. Jenny and a girlfriend were kept busy sending off the wax.
Which Jenny had bought in advance.
You don't need to be told.
And Jenny paid for the postage and packing and adverts and general literature.
She banked all the receipts into a specially opened account in the name of the charity. The receipts have all been drawn out. The man's disappeared. And the charity as such has been found not to exist.
And Jenny's position?
Oh, very bad, I'm afraid. There may be a prosecution. Her name's on everything, and the man's nowhere.
Oh, the stupid bitch.
She has indeed been exceedingly foolish.
Couldn't you have warned her?
I didn't know about it till she came to Ainsford yesterday in a panic. She's done it all from that flat she's taken in Oxford. The man's name is Nicholas Ash. My solicitor chap thinks it would be a good idea if you could find him.
This was a job I could well have done without. Why did I take it on? Why did Jenny still have the power to move me? I sought for an answer on the way down to Kempton in the car, but came up with nothing that satisfied. I found myself first, as usual, outside the Jockey Club, wallowing in nostalgia. Then I was dragged back into the present by a hand on my good arm.
Sid! Lord Fryerly, it's great to see you, sir.
I told you to call me Phillips.
Okay.
Look, can we go over here where it's quieter? Just want a word. I want you to do something for me. I hear you're damn good at looking into things.
I'll help if I can.
They're under start orders.
They're off. I say I'm not...
No, carry on.
Well, the fact is, I've got an uncomfortable feeling I'm being used. During the past year, I've agreed to be one of the registered owners in a syndicate, you know, sharing the costs with 8 or 10 other people, though the horses run in my name and cars.
Yeah, I've noticed.
I don't know all the other people personally. The syndicates were formed by a chap who does just that, gets people together and sells them a horse, you know.
At a tidy profit, from what I hear.
My problem is that the horses don't run to form. A nasty feeling that somewhere in the syndicates we've got someone fixing the way they run.
And you want me to find out?
Well, nice and quietly. What do you say?
I'll certainly try.
Good man. I thought you would. So I brought the names for you of all the people in the syndicates. There we are. 4 horses. Everything looks all right, but frankly, Sid, I'm not happy. Well, I'd better be looking for George Casper. I want a word with him. Is there anything else?
I don't think so. Leave it with me, sir.
Philip! Sid! Thanks!
I went into the members' bar for my rendezvous with Bobby Unwin, my journalist friend. He was watching the end of the first race on closed-circuit television. I arrived at his side just as it finished. I had his bottle of bubbly with me.
Did you see that? Winner by 6 lengths. Good omen. Trained by Gassou. George Casper. Gets boring, doesn't it? Now that bottle looks anything but boring.
One colour supplement, please, Bobby.
As requested.
And the bubbly for you.
Cheers.
And now some info.
Don't rush me, man. Information needs lubrication. So, what do you want to know?
This article. You went to his yard in Newmarket to do it, so tell me what you didn't write about George as a person.
Well, he knows more about when a horse is ready to race and what race to run him in than any other trainer on the turf. About people, he knows damn all and cares even less.
And Rosemary? What does she think about things?
Rosemary's going round the twist, in my opinion. Seriously?
I wouldn't have thought so from what I've seen of her.
You should have been at the house. Her screaming that they haven't enough security and George telling her to belt up. And then she'd go on about Gleaner and Zingaloo haven't been got at. Well, you'll remember them, of course.
What did George say about that? Bobby?
He said she had the heebie-jeebies, that someone would try a novel tri-nitro next.
Really?
He said she was getting everything out of proportion. She was quite wrong anyway, he said, about Gleaner and Zingaloo. Seems both of them had a heart murmur, which accounted for their rotten performances as they matured and got heavier. I am talking about the horses, of course.
Oh.
That was that. No story. And now, Sid, you devious devil, tell me what you really want to know about George Casper.
Well, do you think he might be wanting any extra protection for tri-nitro?
Is that what you're after? No dice, Sid. He's got that ruddy yard sewn up tight. High walls, guard dogs. Largely to humour his wife, really. You can ask him yourself if you like. He's over there now. I'd better go and watch the next race live. My editor will be sacking me. Finish the bubbly.
What bubbly?
George was not alone. With him was a substantial man bearing all the stigmata of a satisfied winning owner. I pocketed the magazine hastily and was heading for the gents when George spotted me.
Sid! I want you to meet Trevor Deanskate.
Hi. Your winner, was it? Congratulations.
Do you know who I am?
Trevor Deanskate.
Apart from that.
Go on, Sid! I told Trevor you know everything. Now, don't let me down.
Bookmaker? Bought out the firm of Billy Burns and put it on its feet.
Hey, what, Trevor? I told you so.
I could have added he was Trevor Schumuck from Manchester, born in a slum and fought his way up. But there was something about him, a whiff of danger, that warned me it wouldn't be well received. A brief encounter, but one that marked the beginning of an acquaintance I'd have gone a long way to avoid. The rest of the afternoon was uneventful, until, that is, I was passing through the exit gate. I was accosted by a racecourse official with a message from Lucas Wainwright. He wanted to see me. Would I wait for him in the tea room? I wanted to get home, but you don't say no to Commander Lucas Wainwright, Director of Security to the Jockey Club. If you were a professional rival, you kept him sweet. He poured out tea and got down briskly to business.
Look, Sid, how do you feel about doing a job for us?
Does us mean the security service?
Yes.
Official?
Unofficial, between you and me. I have no higher authority for approaching you like this, and as I have no authority, I can't promise you any pay. What I can offer is, well, help if you should ever need it. If it was in my power, of course.
Well, that could be worth more than pay.
Good.
Well, go on. What kind of job?
Oh, this is difficult. I'm asking you to make discreet inquiries into the background of one of our people.
One of the security service, do you mean?
Great, so.
Inquiries into what?
Bribery, backhanders, that sort of thing.
Have I got this straight? You believe one of your chaps may be collecting payoffs from villains and you want me to find out?
Exactly.
Have you any suspicions who?
Eddie Keith.
Ex-superintendent of police, Edison Keith. Second only in the hierarchy to you. Oh, what are the indications?
Four of his inquiries over the past year have come up with incorrect results.
Inquiries into what?
Syndicates. Inquiries into the suitability of people wanting to form them and to own horses. Making sure there were no undesirables sneaking into racing through the back door. Eddie gave all clear reports on four proposed syndicates, which do in fact all contain one or more people under false names who wouldn't normally be allowed in through the gates.
How do you know?
I got my sources and I checked carefully.
I suppose they couldn't possibly be syndicates headed by Lord Frierly.
Great, sir. He told me he'd ask you to take a look-see, and it just reinforced the idea I had of asking you myself. Mm.
Can you let me have Eddie's reports, or copies of them, and the false and true names of the undesirables?
I see you get them. But remember, be discreet.
Guard Tri-Nitro, find Nicholas Ash, investigate the syndicates, and now uncover what, if anything, Eddie Keith was up to. Four jobs in 2 days. I'd have to call up the troops. Chico Barnes always cheered me up. When I first got to know him, he was working, as I was, in the detective agency where I learnt my new trade. I set up on my own, and Chico joined me. He got a part-time job in a school, teaching judo to the pupils. Very useful man to have in my firm. He could throw a 20-stone villain as quickly as he could down a pint. God knows how many pints he'd had when I joined him at the Crown and Anchor.
Name your poison, sir.
Orange juice, please.
Orange juice, please, love. In a dirty glass. Joe, sweetheart. Yeah. Well, Chief, what can I do for you and where do I do it?
Spot a pub crawling, Newmarket.
Oh, can't be bad.
You're looking for George Casper's head lad, Paddy Young. Isn't that where he drinks, sort of drift into conversation, yeah?
Will do. I'll tell her.
Ta. We want to know the whereabouts of three horses which used to be in his yard.
Why not ask George Casper straight out?
Look, George mustn't know we're asking questions about his horses.
Gotcha. And the names of the next?
Bethesda, Gleaner and Zingaloo.
Bethesda, Gleaner and Zingaloo. I'll go up there tomorrow. You want me to ring her?
As soon as you can.
Shall I phone the flat of the Moving Target?
Try till you get me. I'll be on my way to Ainsford early afternoon.
Oh, get around, don't you?
Well, I could do without this trip, I can tell you.
Starship Enterprise.
Any luck, Chico?
No luck, pure skill. I found your Paddy Young in the pub next to the yard. He told me all three horses have gone to stud.
Did he know where?
Sure. Bethesda went to Garvey's.
Garvey's, yeah, in Gloucestershire.
Right, and the other two are at a place just outside Newmarket, Thrace's.
Henry Thrace's, yeah. What else?
Well, Gleaner had arthritis, Zingaloo had a virus, and some guy called Brother Smith gave him the thumbs down.
Brother Smith? Is he George Casper's vet?
Don't know.
Well, see if you can come up with a telephone number and address for him.
Anything more?
Yeah. Did Paddy say there was anything odd about these three horses going wrong?
No, but then he wouldn't get on Mastermind.
Right, Chico, thanks. See you when I see you.
Have a good weekend.
You have got to be making a funny.
So you came. I said you wouldn't.
Introductions. Sid, this is my solicitor, Oliver Quayle.
So, you're the famous Sid Halley.
I am getting known, I suppose.
Well, shall we sit down? I've told Oliver, Sid, that if anyone can find this Nicholas Ash person, you will.
Actually, I was wondering whether this isn't really a job for the police.
The trouble is that technically it is Jenny alone who is guilty of obtaining money by false pretenses. The police have listened to her, but one feels they might choose to settle for the case they have. As I've told Charles, Mr. Halley, it would appear from all the documents that she signed that she did know the scheme was fraudulent, and ignorance, even if genuine, is always a poor, if not impossible, defence.
If there's no evidence against Ash, what would you do even if I did find him?
Well, I'm hoping that if you find him, you'll find evidence as well.
Sid, why don't you say straight out that the job's beyond you? You see, Mr. Quayle, how he longs to prove he's clever, now he's disabled. It's pathetic.
I'll tell you what, Jenny, if I do find Nicholas Ash, I'll give him to you. That should teach the poor devil a lesson.
Sid.
Yeah, all right, all right. I'll try to find him. There must be ways. At any rate, I'll do my best.
That's the ticket.
What does he look like?
Young, personable, dark-haired, clean-shaven. Looks a bit like you, actually, Sid. Ingratiating, though.
He wasn't a bit like Sid. He was more fun. He lit things up, full of life and jokes. He made me laugh.
There was a time when I could...
What?
Never mind. Where did he stay while he was operating?
Most of the time he worked from the flat Jenny's sharing with the other girl I mentioned.
He lived in your flat, Jenny?
Yes, he did.
And when he left, did he leave anything behind?
Nothing at all.
Look, do you want him found or not? Don't you realise what he's done to you?
Oliver says I won't go to prison.
That's right.
But a conviction for fraud will affect your life in all sorts of horrible ways. I see you like this man, maybe you even loved him. But he is not just a naughty boy. He's callously arranged for you to be punished in his stead. That's the crime for which I'll catch him if I damn well can, even if you don't want me to.
Oh, she wants you to, of course she
does. It's by no means unknown for women to go on loving scoundrels who've ruined them, Charles.
Excuse me, Daddy.
And out she flounces.
That was brutal, Sid. We've been trying to spare her.
Mr. Quayle, please, will you go after her and tell her the brutal truth about the mess she's in? Give her the shock treatment. It's for her own good.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
And then there were two.
It took you about 10 minutes to see what I wouldn't have seen at all. It was pointless trying to reassure her.
It just gave her the excuse for delaying the crunch, for putting off the time when she's going to have to admit to herself that she's made a shaming, shattering mistake.
Do you really think you can find the fellow? Where on earth do you start looking?
At Jenny's flat, I think.
Jeans, check shirt, baggy blue sweater and slippers. Hairbrushed, and lipstick, gentle pink and unaggressive. Louise McInnes, Jenny's flatmate. Her manner was polite but cool. What the hell had Jenny told her about me, I wondered.
Do sit down. On the settee. Believe it or not, there is a coffee table under that pile. Just drop it on the floor. Thank you. There. Help yourself to coffee.
Oh, thanks.
Now, why exactly are you here?
Jenny's father has asked me to see if I could help her.
How?
By finding Nicholas Ash.
Ah. What's Jenny told you?
Only that he was a million laughs. Was he?
Yes, he was. I can't believe he did what he did.
Oh, were you in love with him too?
Me? No. Jenny's the one he turned on, and it was she who attracted him, or so it seemed. They met somewhere in Oxford. I came back one day and he was here. They were, well, already interested in each other.
Have you always shared this flat with Jenny?
Well, more or less. We were at school together, didn't you know? It's worked out fine. She's a super girl. It might be as well for you to see all the stuff.
Yes, please.
I've put it all in his room, in Nicky's room, so I don't have to look at it.
Right, let's go.
This way.
Say, Nicky.
As you say.
When exactly did he go?
2 weeks last Wednesday. He was here at breakfast as usual. I went off to the library and Jenny caught a train to London to go shopping. When we both got back, he was gone. Mm. Jenny wept all over the place. But of course we didn't know then that he hadn't just left her. He'd cleared out with all the money as well.
How did you find out?
Jenny went to the bank on Friday to pay in the checks and draw out some cash for postage. And they told her the account was closed.
Well, he seems to have left the place neat and tidy, anyway.
Oh, yes, he'd dusted and hoovered. He cleaned the bathroom as well. Jenny thought it was nice of him, till she found out why he didn't want to leave any trace.
Yeah, I should think it was symbolic.
What do you mean?
No, it's not just wanting to wipe out fingerprints, it's wanting to wipe himself out, say goodbye to the place for good.
That's clever.
Yeah, it's a well-known phenomenon. Where did they sleep?
Here, in his room, most nights.
Did he ever go to her?
No, funnily enough. If he wanted her, he'd stand outside and call. More symbolism, you think?
Oh, could be.
These boxes.
I was just going to ask you about them.
The stuff inside will tell you the whole story. Start at this end.
Right. Now, what are we here? Oh, well, now. There's posh for you. Coat of arms, the lot. Cut above your common or garden begging letter. Research into coronary disability. Registered charity. No date, no salutation. We have decided to offer fine wax, polished 5 pounds of tin, 75% of which goes into medical research. Signed, Jennifer Harry. Oh, that's conventional but convincing. Oh, Jenny. Right. Envelopes. Orders for wax. Check-in clothes. Compliment slips, receipts. Packets of tins. Now, there must be other papers. Letters, cash books, that sort of thing.
Oh, the police took them.
Who called them in?
Someone complained to them that the charity wasn't registered.
What made Ash bolt just when he did?
We don't know. Maybe someone telephoned here to complain as well, so he went while he could.
Where did this wax come from?
Oh, some firm or other. Jenny wrote to order it and it was delivered here.
Invoices.
Police took them.
Are these begging letters, who got them printed?
Jenny, of course.
Who were they sent to?
Nicky had lists of names and addresses, thousands of them.
Right, now, have you got them, the lists?
He took them with him.
Did he say where he got them from?
Well, yes, from the charity's headquarters.
And who addressed the envelopes and sent them out?
Nicky typed the envelopes. Jenny signed her name at the bottom of the letters. And I put them in the envelopes. She used to get writer's cramp, so Nicky helped her. He copied her signature so well you couldn't tell the difference.
Oh.
I know, asking for trouble. But he was very plausible.
How much money did Jenny bank?
In the region of £10,000. It just came pouring in.
Right. What about these letters? Checks enclosed?
Well, those are from people whose money was banked and who've been sent the wax.
Well, didn't the police want them?
Well, they didn't take them, anyway.
Do you mind if I do?
Not at all.
I think it's in a polish, too.
Is that it, then?
Oh, I want to get rid of me, don't you?
I'm rather busy, that's all.
How did Ash get the money out of the bank?
Well, there was a letter signed by Jenny, allowing him to transfer cash to present to the charity at its annual dinner. A cheque signed by her for every penny.
Maybe the bank clerks will remember him.
I'm afraid they don't.
No. Well, you've got to hand it to him. He's a professional.
Looks like it.
If you think of anything else, here's my card.
Oh. From what Jenny said, you're not a bit what I expected.
Huh? Expected a monster, did you?
Someone brash and inconsiderate. Someone righteous and condescending. Mind you, I don't exactly know you.
Oh, I'll settle for the benefit of the doubt. I didn't know it at the time, but my reputation as a man of flint was soon to be called into question by less gentle agencies than Louise McInnes.
In episode 1 of Whip Hand by Dick Francis, Sid was played by Mick Ford. Wainwright by David Neal. Chico, Kim Durham. Rosemary, Patricia Gallimore. George Casper, Alan Devereaux. Charles, Simon Carter. Unwin, David Van. Deansgate, Terry Malloy. Jenny, Petra Markham. Louise, Susan Sheridan. Dramatised by Alan England, Whip Hand was directed at Pebble Mill by Philip Martin.